Okay, now we're turning to Psalm 19, and this evening I want to consider the first six verses of Psalm 19. Let's read verse 1. The heavens declare a message. The heavens declare the message that God would have all men to see, and that is the glory of God. The glory of God. The greatness of God, the majesty of God, the power of God. The heavens declare His glory and the firmament, and that word actually means the sky or the horizon, that which we see visible above us. The firmament showeth. The heavens declare His glory, and the firmament showeth His handwork or His handiwork. Now, the title of this message is simply, The Heavens Declare the Glory of God. Now, I'm very interested in the glory of God. The glory of God. When Moses asked the Lord, you remember in Exodus 33, show me your glory. Show me your glory. He desired to see the glory of God. And I do too, don't you? Desire to see the glory of God. You remember what the Lord said? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Chiefly, the glory of God is seen in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also the heavens, all of creation, tells us something about the glory and majesty of our great and glorious God. Now, we have in this psalm the glorious works of creation, which declare who God is, His glory. We also have in this psalm, in the second part, the glorious work of the gospel, written throughout the Word of God, His redemptive glory. So we have the book of creation and the book of the written Word of God, which declares unto us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The first part of Psalm 19 declares the wonders of God's power, how they are displayed in His great creation, even this creation in its fallen state. Imagine what it was like when God said in the beginning, let there be light, what the old writers called the pristine estate of God's creation. Just imagine how glorious and beautiful all of God's creation was in the beginning before sin entered in, before sin marred it. What a glorious creation when God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light appeared. So the heavens declare the glory of God. But in the second part of this psalm, we'll consider next week, the second part, we see also a glorious power set forth in the new creation, when God creates within us a new man in regeneration. He says in verse 7, the word of the Lord or the gospel of the Lord is perfect, complete. It's converting. It's restoring. It does, and God uses His word as the means of conviction and regeneration. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in verses 1 through verse 6, we see the book of creation. And then in verses 7 down through 11, we have the book of books, the Bible, God's holy scripture. And they also declare unto us His glory. Both have the same author. Both the true and living God. Both have the same subject, His glory. Both teach one lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. The grand design of God's creation and the grand design of God's gospel is the same thing, isn't it? His glory. God is jealous of His glory. God is determined, God Almighty is determined that in the salvation of sinners, He's going to get all the glory. And in the condemnation of the reprobate, he's going to get all the glory. One to the glory of his grace, the other to the glory of his justice. But God must have, rightly so, all the honor and glory. Now let's look at verse 1, the heavens, the heavens, the heavens. Do you realize the vastness of the heavens, the heaven of heavens, the vastness of it? Someone will say, well, God is in the universe. No, the universe is in Him. He created all things by the word of His power. The heavens declare God's glory. His glory. All creation declares that God is God. God is God. All the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, even the cloud, the wind, the rain, all declare unto us that God is almighty. He is the sovereign creator of all things. In the beginning, God created all things. He says this throughout the Word of God. Turn over here, if you will, to Exodus 15. He said, I am God, beside me there is no other. There is none like me. In Exodus chapter 15, turn over there. When Israel was delivered from bondage and God split the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground and God destroyed the enemy. In Exodus chapter 15, look at verse 11. In the song of praise unto the Lord, look at verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There is none like the God of Israel. There's none like Him. What's He like? Let's turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. When we talk about God, it's the whole Godhead we're talking about. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity. One in purpose. One in nature. I want you to turn to Psalm 71, look at verse 19. What's He like? Look at verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee, the true and living God? Find Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. For Thou, Lord, art good, Psalm 86, 5, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Him. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, neither are there any like any works like unto Thy works. Thou art great. Look at verse 9. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Verse 10. For Thou art great. Thou doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. He is the true and living God. Find another scripture. Psalm 89, verse 6. He's the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 89. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Great God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Thou hast broke Rahab, and that means Egypt there, in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered the enemies with Thy strong arm. The heavens are Thine, the earth also was Thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them. the north, the south. Thou hast created Tabor, Hermon, rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand. High is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. You see, there is none like our great God. What's he like? Turn to Psalm 135. Psalm 135, look at verse 5. Psalm 135, for I know that the Lord is great. Great. You know everything about him is great? His great mercy wherewith he loved us. His great love wherewith he loved us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. You know, he brings the wind out of his treasuries. Every time it's windy, I think of that verse. He brings the wind. He causes the lightning to flash, the thunder to roll, the sun to shine. All things. He creates all things by the word of his power, and he sustains all things. Now look back at Psalm 19. We could say so much about the God of creation, God who is God. This book is full of a glorious description of the true and living God. Notice the second part of verse 1. The firmament showeth his handwork, or his handiwork. You know, our great God creates and created all things by the speaking of his word. He said, let there be light, and the light appeared. That's power. That is absolute, pure, undiluted, sovereign majesty and power. This is a God to whom we worship. This is a God with whom we have to do. All creation is the handwork of God. God created, now get a hold of this. Turn to John chapter 1. God created all things, sustains all things. John chapter 1. By and through the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Turn over there. John chapter 1, look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word, God the Son, was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things by the word of his power. Turn over here to Colossians chapter 1. God creates all things through the blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 13, he delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn. That word there means Lord, King, head of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Look at verse 17. They were created by him and they're for his glory, for his purpose, for his use. Verse 17. And he is before all things. The Father loveth the Son and given all things into his hand. He is before all things. Now watch verse 17. By him all things consist. That word there, consist, you know what it means? Held together. God holds this creation together. There's that law of gravity. How does that exist? How does that maintain? How's the order of that? God holds all things together. He's the God of gravity. He holds all things consist. All things are held together by his power. It says plainly in Ephesians 3, verse 8, God created all things by Jesus Christ. Did you ever notice the exact order of God's universe? The seasons, the time, the orbit of the planets around the sun, how everything has an exact order. God is not the God of confusion. He's a God of order. He has set all things in an exact order, and He maintains the order in His universe. Nothing out of control. Nothing out of control in God's universe. Amen. He's a God of all things. He's the sovereign of all things. As His creation, all of His creation, the wind, the rain, everything we see in God's creation, the animals, the trees, the plants, the minerals, all things, all His creation, they are His servants to serve His purpose. And they do declare His glory, His power, His purpose, and His honor. All things God has created for His own glory. I tell you, wise is the man. And this man who sees God in creation is a man who was taught of God, is a man who believes God is God. I tell you, we are so depraved, left to ourselves. Rather than worshiping the God of creation, we'll start worshiping the creation. Man is so depraved, instead of worshiping God who created the sun, left to himself, he'll make the sun, S-U-N, the God, and worship Jupiter or Mercury or these different planets, left to himself. I tell you, the man who was taught of God, the man who was taught of God through the Word of God sees the God of creation in the rain and beautiful sunset. Nobody can paint a picture like God Almighty in the clouds, the sun, the rain. The rainbow speaks of that covenant that God made, that He wouldn't destroy the earth again by flood. That covenant which speaks of that eternal covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 2. We'll move on here because I want to get down to verses 5 and 6. day after day, the creation declares the glory of God. Day after day and night after night declares unto us that God is God. Showeth knowledge, the day and the night. Even the day and the night declare unto us somehow, in some measure, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Day after day, night after night, one continuous, faithful sermon that God is God. Now listen to this message, listen to this scripture here. Just listen. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. The day here, you know, everything in Scripture is given to us to teach us Christ, to teach us and show us the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in Scripture. This is a book about Him. The day here speaks of Christ, our light. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is our day. He is our light. In Him we live and move and have our being. Even the night. Even the night tells us something about the gospel of God's grace. How's that, preacher? Well, what are you going to do here in a few hours? You're going to go home, nighttime, and you're going to lay down, and you're going to rest. You're going to rest. Now, especially you young people, when you go to bed, you usually just fall asleep, and boy, you're asleep, aren't you? You're resting. You know, us older folks, a lot of times when we go to bed, we don't sleep so well. But when you're young, you sleep. But most of the time when we go to bed to rest. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of Christ, our rest. Christ, He is our Sabbath day. The book of Hebrews tells us to strive to enter into that rest. That rest, that Sabbath rest. And that's not talking about that Levitical day under the law, that Sabbath day. We don't make any day We don't observe a time, a year, or day. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Sabbath, who is our rest. Now, let me show you this. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do? Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest. You want rest for your soul? I know we desire rest for the body when it's tired, but I tell you, my friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an eternal rest. Oh, that sweet peace and that rest we have in Christ Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. Oh, rest unto your soul. Right, in the heart. Rest in Christ. Rejoice in Him. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We do rest in Him. We do rejoice in Him. Now, notice, if you will, verse 3 in our text. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4, their line has gone out to all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the Son. Creation speaks a universal language that if God is pleased to give us some measure of understanding, even the lowest and the remotest of men are without excuse before God. They are accountable unto God. Now, look at verse 4. Their line, or their rule, or their direction has gone out to all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the Son. The line or direction of their speech has gone out to all the earth. All of creation declares unto this world that God is God. He's faithful, holy, sovereign, almighty. No living man can hide from the message that God sends out through His glorious creation. Now, I want to try to get down to verse 4 and 5. God has set, notice this, the last part of verse 4, in them hath He set a tabernacle, a dwelling place for His Son. Now, you have to trust me on this, but I won't have you turn, but in Psalm 84:11, says this, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He is our sun and shield. The sun, S-U-N, is the center of our solar system, and everything revolves around the sun, doesn't it? Even so in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything revolves around the S-O-N. Redemption revolves around Him. Forgiveness of sin revolves around Him. He's the center of it. He's the cause of it. He's the completer of it. All things, salvation, He is the center of these things. Now, verse 5 and 6. Here's what I've been trying to work down to. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of His chamber. And this is a glorious description of the Lord Jesus Christ using the Son as a type and picture of Him. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of His chamber. Number one, He rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Number three, His going forth is from the end of heaven. The next one, His circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now let's consider these things that are given to us here. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of Righteousness, as a God-man mediator, which is as a bridegroom coming out of His chamber. Now, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't come here of His own. He was sent of God. Sent of God to be the surety of that everlasting covenant of God. Sent of God for an exact purpose. He said, I came to finish the work God had given me to do. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. As the bridegroom, you know what the bridegroom is seeking? His bride. He loved the church and he gave himself for his church. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The bridegroom, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom came to give his life for his bride. He came, he said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You remember what John the Baptist said of the Lord Jesus? He said, I'm not the light. I'm sent to bear witness of the light. John 3, 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Where did he get that bride? Chosen in that eternal covenant of grace. God chose a people and gave them to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I will never cast out. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Oh, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase. I must decrease. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save his bride from their sin. Turn over here, if you will, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came for an exact purpose. The bridegroom coming forth, sent of God. He said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work. In 1 Timothy 1:15, here's the bridegroom coming to claim his bride, coming to wash her from her sin and to make her ever wit clean. You see verse 15, 1 Timothy 1:15. You with me? This is a faithful saying. You can bank on it. You can count on it. God says it. Worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, came into the world to save the bride. Sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief one. I'm the chief offender. Back to Psalm 19. So here's the bridegroom coming to seek out his bride. You know, he's also called the shepherd, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He's called the chief shepherd. He's called the good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd of the sheep who's redeemed his people through his own blood, the everlasting covenant of God's grace. So he's, as the bridegroom, coming to seek out his bride. Notice this secondly. And does rejoice. He does rejoice as a strong man to run a race. You know, he delights to do the will of God. He does rejoice. You remember that scripture over in Hebrews chapter 12? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God when he by himself purged our sin, sat down at God's right hand. He does rejoice in his redeeming work. It's his delight. It's his joy. He came to save us from our sin, to bring in and establish everlasting righteousness for his people. He does rejoice in doing the work of God. He does rejoice in saving his people. He does rejoice. Don't turn. Let me just get this here for you. Over in the book of Jude, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He does it with joy. Here's our bridegroom coming forth like the sun in the morning, the strength of the sun coming up out of the chamber And he does rejoice. He does rejoice. Now look at this. As a strong man. As a strong man. He is totally and fully, completely, eternally God. And yet he is the God-man mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the strong man. Now, never think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a weak, defeated, frustrated reformer, as my pastor always used to say. The Lord Jesus Christ is the strong man. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. He is the strong man as God, the Creator. He is a strong man who one day on the deck of that ship, when it was sinking and the disciples were so concerned, "Master, aren't you concerned? We're perishing." And He stepped forth and said, "Peace, be still." He's the strong man. As the strong man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He honored completely, fully, totally every precept of that law, establishing that law, God's holy law, establishing a perfect righteousness for His covenant people. He's the strong man. And you know what? He's the strong Savior. He's not weak, impotent. He's the strong Savior. For He prayed that in John 17. "The Father had given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to Him." Now He's the strong man, the bridegroom that does rejoice as the strong man to run a race. Now, when I was a young lad, I used to love to run. I mean, I'd run everywhere. I'd run everywhere. Couldn't jump in a car, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, but I could run. I lived 2 miles away from school, and a lot of times I'd run to school and run home. I ran everywhere. And when I got a little bit older, someone suggested I start running in what they call track. Run around in circles. You know, when you enter a race, you enter a race to cross the finish line. I don't ever remember starting a race and not finishing the race. And you can be sure of this. The Lord Jesus Christ never entered this race to accomplish our salvation with the idea of not finishing the race. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the strong man, entered the race to accomplish, entered God's purpose, we could say, entered into God's work. He said, "It's my meat and my delight to finish the work God had given to me." As a strong man, He did run our race for us. And He has won the victory for us. You know, He finishes first. When I used to run those races when I was in school, I don't think I ever finished first. I finished sometimes dead last. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as our forerunner, has entered into glory as the winner, as the eternal winner. He's a strong man who runs the race for us. And He gives us His victory. You see that? Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His going forth, something else He says here. His going forth is from the end of heaven. He's the eternal God. Turn over here to, I think I've got written down here, Psalm 90. Turn over there, Psalm 90. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, His going forth. His going forth. Look what it says here in Psalm 90. "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place," verse 1, "in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." Before He formed all things, He's the everlasting God. His going forth is from the end of heaven. Can you find the little book of Micah? Let's see if we can find that. The little book of Micah. Naaman, Habakkuk, going this way, Zechariah, Malachi. Then right over here is the book of Micah. Talks about him in verse Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. If you can't get it, just listen to me. Jot this reference down. Micah chapter 5, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. His going forth is from all eternity. Notice the second part in verse 6. His circuit. His circuit unto the ends of the earth. His circuit, or his revolutions, his goings forth are from the end unto the ends of the earth. And I get by that, that his mercies are far-reaching. His salvation is far-reaching. His blessings are widespread. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His gospel, he will have a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and people under heaven. His going forth is from the end of heaven. His circuit unto the ends of the earth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to, I think it's Isaiah 43. Turn there. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Here's, I think, what the point is. Isaiah 43, 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I've formed him, yea, I've made him. He will have a people redeemed by his blood, who sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Now, the last part of verse 6. There is nothing hid. There is nothing hid. There is nothing hid from our great God. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, if you go back to considering the S-U-N, the sun, there's nothing hid from the sun. The sun reaches all the exposed surface of the earth. All the exposed surface of, there's nothing hid from the sun. And you can be sure of this. There's nothing hid from God Almighty, from the heat thereof. From the warmth of his saving love, nothing hid from that toward his covenant people. Turn over here to Hebrews 4. And there's nothing, there will be no one that will be hid from his justice and wrath, those who are not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing hid from him, from the heat thereof. Let me read you this statement. There are none who believe, who shall be not denied the warmth of his love, and none who do not believe, who shall escape the heat of his wrath. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 4. For the Word of God, speaking of Christ, the eternal Word of God, the written Word, the Word of God is powerful, quick, living is the Word. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. There's nothing hid from him. There's nothing hid from God Almighty. Look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that's not made manifest in his sight. Now watch this. But all things are naked and all things are open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We must stand before God, we must answer unto God. He said everyone will bow, everyone will confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His going forth is from the end of heaven, His circuit unto the ends of the earth. There is nothing hid, nothing hid from the heat thereof. Let me give you one other scripture. I'll let you go. Find Luke 24, talking about the warmth of His word, the heat of His word, the warmth of His love in Luke chapter 24. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, it's recorded here in Luke 24, His resurrection glory. And there were two men that were walking along that day on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus Christ drew near unto them. And they did not know, even though in His resurrection glory, they did not know who He was. And the conversation goes, beginning at verse 25. He said unto them, those two men, two disciples, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses, Genesis 1, and all the prophets, He expounded unto them and all the things concerning Himself. They drew nigh into the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it unto them. Verse 31. And their eyes were open. They knew Him. And He vanished out of sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? There's that heat, the warmth of His word, the warmth of His person. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the scripture? That's what the Lord is pleased to do when He's pleased to bless His word to our heart and speak to our heart. He does warm our soul. He does feed us with the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, even Himself.